How dare we speak Merry Christmas? How dare we?
The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season.
The radical left wanted to get rid of the, they wanted to get rid of the word Christmas. I said, I don't think that's going to work out. And we did it, and now everybody's saying Merry Christmas again.
You know, the only way it's going to be a white Christmas this year at the non-white Christmas party is if Lamar Cook makes his $85,000 bail.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm happy to be here with you. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Howie. And I'm here with you today and on Friday. So give us a call if you want to talk anything Christmas or politics or otherwise. 844-500-4242 or text Howie, H-O-W-I-E, to 617-213-1066. That's 617-213-1066. All right, as promised, I'm not going to spend the whole show on this, but I really can't believe a lot of this has been put down on paper and people blindly follow Democrats. I remember one of the talk radio hosts down on the Cape when I was growing up was Don McKeag. He was a great guy. I got to know him pretty well. And he used to fire off the phrase, Jack the Ripper Democrats. In other words, Democrats who just, anyone who has a D next to their name, didn't matter who they were, what they've done, what they stood for, they vote the party, and the D next to the name is all it took. So if you had a D, you would get voted in, and Jack the Ripper Democrats. So that's what I think of when I read some of this stuff. There's people out there that would never align themselves with the type of stuff that's in the official Dem platform manual or policy, but yet they continually vote for them year in, year out. Reward them for their terrible job performance with their job back. That's just the way they are. They're very charitable people. But anyway, so as promised, this section is public safety and criminal legal reform. So they're going to make the public safer by implementing programs that support community-based policing. Okay, maybe. Strengthening victims' rights, which I would agree, and victim advocacy services. Okay, how do you do that? You're going to, you know, if you're a victim, you should definitely be able to confront your accuser in a court of law and make the accused or the offender go away for long periods of time, right? Isn't that how we're going to do that? No, Toby, sorry. We're going to put an end to privately owned prisons and defund the incentive of prisons. That's what they say right here. End for-profit prisons, period. So they want to make sure that it's a social program that, you know, people can't afford, so the taxpayer will bear the burden. That's all that really means. Divesting state funds from any holdings in private prisons. So if somebody figured out a way to take it off the tax rolls and make it an executive type of agency, which could not be a direct cost to the consumer or cost to the taxpayer, we're going to make sure that never happens. And here's the crazy part. We're going to requirement that law enforcement have a minimum of a bachelor's degree with required coursework in sociology and psychology, bias and anti-racist thought, a professional license issued by a state agency, and employer-paid liability insurance. Okay, that sounds expensive. So what they're really trying to say is that's one way of defunding the police by making the barrier to entry higher than it already is, and making it harder for people to do the job, right? A pause on new jail and prison construction to allow for the opportunity to consider community practices and decrease the number of people incarcerated. There it is right there in black and white. Decrease the amount of people incarcerated. So violent career criminals, the worst of the worst, those people, we don't really want to put him in jail anymore. Why would we do that? That's ridiculous. We're going to pause new jail and construction. No matter how many criminals are out there, we're going to pause them. We're going to make sure they sit empty. We have the highest incarceration cost per inmate in the country. It's like $317,000 a year per inmate. Think about that. That's insane. Why? Well, because our jails and our prisons are empty. They are sitting empty, but they're still staffed. They're still insured. They're still maintained. There's still, you know, overhead and expenses to running them. And we just don't have anyone in there because we don't let the violent people, we don't make the violent people go to jail anymore. We just let them out with an ankle bracelet and say, go and sin no more. Unless you're Kyle Collada, you're going to do 125 days held without bail for daring bring a gun to this state, right? It's absolutely insane how they think this is going to make the public more safe. They want to spend law enforcement resources on de-escalating and resolving conflicts involving people with disabilities and people experiencing mental health emergencies and remaining a death penalty free state. So the most heinous, disgusting killer out there, Brian Walsh, the guy who got convicted last week, right, of murdering his wife. That guy can live without fear of ever being sat on old Sparky or swinging from a gallows, because we are committed to remaining a death penalty free state. But we're going to make sure that maybe they don't even have to go to jail anymore, because we're not going to build any new prisons. We're going to put a moratorium on that. And then here's the creme de la creme. This is the cherry on top for public safety, the public safety and criminal legal reform. We are going to make sure that there are measures to protect those made more unsafe by what? Climate change. Oh, yeah. There you have it, folks. Climate change. We're going to have measures to protect those made more unsafe by climate change. This is where your tax dollars should go. This is where the money should be spent in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to reduce crime and make us safer. Madness. Absolute madness. I can't believe they put this on paper, but they do. And of course, they want free communication, including phone calls, video visits, email, and tablets for incarcerated people. That's important. You know, make tablets for all. And I know a lot of that's already happening. It's just crazy because, after all, if you commit a heinous crime, you should be able to call your loved ones, video call them, email and tab, you know, type out on your tablet, go on social media and be entertained. Oh boy. Abolish civil asset forfeiture, which allows the confiscation of all assets from individuals, whether or not charged or convicted of any crime, with no required accounting by law enforcement and no due process protection of those whose assets are appropriated. Gee, I wonder if that means they're going to stop seizing people's guns when their neighbor ERPOs them with an extreme risk protection order. You think they're going to stop coming to your door and taking those guns away? I bet you $20. They're not going to include that in their official, Democratic mass party platform as amended. All right, let's go to the phones. Paul, you're next up on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Toby, I'm sure you explained this over the years, and I just never paid attention. You probably said it a dozen times. But now my father-in-law, he's 80, he wants to give me his guns. He's in Massachusetts. I'm in North Carolina. So I can dole them out to grandchildren, and if we wanted to keep anything. He's got about 14 or 16 rifles and pistols. Nothing high capacity, but what do I need to do now?
If you want to transfer them to the residents in Massachusetts, that's the question?
From Massachusetts to North Carolina.
Oh, that's the easy part. That's easy. You can just ship them down to a gun store in North Carolina and have them come pick them up. There's no other – it's not complicated. It's very, very easy. Mass allows guns to leave the state, but coming in, it's more complicated than that. But yeah, it's really not that difficult. I would recommend the easiest thing, just ship them down to a local gun store down there.
Yep. Could I pick them up personally?
Yeah, in the state of Massachusetts?
Yeah.
And you're in North Carolina? No. Well, with exception, that's a good question. The long guns, maybe. You probably could and get away with it, but I wouldn't. Because if you got caught with the guns in Massachusetts without a license, you'd be suffering the fate of everybody I've been talking about all day. The easiest thing to do, Paul, just literally pay a gun shop to box them up and ship them down. Have whoever's licensed in Mass. If you don't have anyone licensed in Mass to do it, some local gun shops like mine or whatever in your area could pick them up and then pack them and ship them for you. It costs some money, but that's the safest way. And also, you can't take a handgun across state lines like that. You can't do a transfer of a handgun. That violates federal law. The long guns would normally not be a problem in other states, but Massachusetts, it's complicated because you got to have a license to take them in the first place. So I hope that helps, Paul. I know it's not probably the answer you were hoping for, but anyway, Don, you're next up on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Don.
Oh, Toby, every time I listen to the laws made in Massachusetts, I feel so much stupider.
It doesn't make you feel safe, Don. These are designed to keep you safe.
Safe? Did I miss some pages in my Massachusetts Constitution that delegates to the government that they are to provide safety for us?
Well, it's funny you say that, because if you read the Mass General Law, Chapter 140, Section 131, it actually goes further than that. It says in Section H that the Secretary of the Executive Office of Public Safety and Security or their designee may promulgate regulations to carry out the purposes of this section. So there's an executive agency out there, Don, that can just willy-nilly change your fundamental right to keep and bear arms however they see fit.
And nowhere under Chapter 40 does it say that there is a right to keep and bear arms. The word right does not appear anywhere in Chapter 140. And the only function of government is to protect the lawful exercise of our rights. So I'm even more confused right now talking to you, Toby, because Chapter 140 does not mention the word right.
You're 100% correct, Don, and it actually says that a license shall entitle a holder thereof of a license to purchase, rent, lease, borrow, possess, carry firearms, including large capacity firearms and feeding devices for all lawful purposes. So apparently what they're trying to say is if you don't have said license, Don, then you don't get to exercise your right to keep and bear arms.
Okay, I guess they can license rights then, like they did in Gwinnett, Pennsylvania there when the people were passing out pamphlets and the Supreme Court said you cannot charge a fee, a tax, a license, or register a right in order for the right to be lawfully exercised. Am I confused again?
Come on, Don. That was the First Amendment. It's totally different.
Oh, okay.
It's totally different.
Totally different. Okay.
Yeah.
You were talking about the Democrat Party platform here in Massachusetts?
Yes.
Did you ever read the ones from the 1850s?
Mm-mm.
1850, 54, 58, and 60, whatever the heck it is. But did you know that the Democrat Party, in each and every case, supported the right to be free to own Negroes as slaves?
Wow.
That was the Democrat Party platform. Anybody can go there and read it. I mean, it's no biggie. And then talking about rights in Massachusetts, under Article 12, Toby, John Adams wrote that nobody shall be put outside the protection of the law save for a jury trial and a verdict by one's peers. Now, this gun license crap, did that come out of a court ruling or something that I missed? Or is it totally in violation of Federalist 49, where Madison says the government can only do certain limited permitted actions.
I don't know when and where it originally came from, but what I would argue is that Massachusetts stopped recognizing the right to keep and bear arms a long time ago, decades ago, and now treats it as a privilege, as it says right in Chapter 140, Section 131, that this license will entitle you. This is what gives you the power in the eyes of the Massachusetts government, Don.
And one last quick point here regarding reciprocity and full faith and credit. You read the Dred Scott ruling, and on page 417 of that ruling, Justice Taney, the Chief Justice, recognized the fact that if Negroes were citizens, they could what, Toby? Keep and carry arms from state to state.
Yeah, I would argue
that ruling.
I think they don't like to bring up the racist history of gun control. Democrats seemingly forget that and like to forget all about it and pretend like it didn't happen. But all gun control has its roots in racism, and especially right after, you know, the end of slavery in the late 1800s, early 19th century, late 19th century. And that was what put into practice these laws to prohibit the freed slaves from being able to carry and keep arms for defense of themselves or others. It's unbelievable.
Democrat KKK, created by General Nathan Bedford Forrest, a good Democrat supporter. That one.
Yeah, and his recent memory is, what was the Grand Master there that passed away a few years back that was Joe Biden's good buddy? Yeah, thank you, Robert Byrd. That's right. Yeah, he was, you know, hey, the. Wasn't that long ago, Don, unfortunately, but and they're still trying to keep arms out of the hands of Americans throughout the country. But, yeah, thanks so much for the call, Don. I appreciate it. 844-500-4242. Texter is saying, Toby, it's Article 17 of the Massachusetts Constitution. I think I said that earlier in the show, but if I didn't, I stand corrected. I do know that it's Article 17 and also the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Texter 207 says, Toby, do you think there will be a mad rush on suppressors next year with the $200 tax going away? Sorry, Massachusetts folks. Absolutely, there will be. I already know every major manufacturer has been ramping up production because it's one of those situations that suppressors were not even owned from 1934 until probably the 80s, when that $200 tax stamp, you know, and inflation and, you know, the dollar became, it was like, you know, it's an inconvenience now, but it's not a life-altering charge. In 1934, Maxim suppressors were $5, and a $200 tax stamp was like $6,000 or $7,000 equivalent to today's money. So if you're going to buy a $5 item and be taxed by $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000, depending on what index you look at, yeah, no one was buying them. It put Maxim silencers out of business immediately, and that was the end of that for nearly 100 years. Well, yeah, nearly 100 years. And now in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, when the $200 didn't become as big a deal, it was still a massive inconvenience and a tax on a protected event. And like Don was just pointing out, Murdoch v. Pennsylvania, 1943, said you can't tax the exercise of a constitutionally protected right, period, full stop. And it wasn't just referring to the First Amendment, as I was playing the devil's advocate there. It said a constitutionally protected right, period, full stop. That's not just the First Amendment. That's not the Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, the Seventh Amendment. It's all of them. And you can't tax it, as evidenced by Madison Star v. Minneapolis in the 80s, which was a tax on the ink and the paper for the newspaper. The Supreme Court ruled that it's unconstitutional to tax the free press. All right, let's go to a break. We'll be right back. I'm sorry, I'm rambling on here. Toby Leary sitting in for Howie Carr. We'll be right back after this.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
And welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary. And today's poll question is brought to you by Colette Tours. Discover Scotland with Colette and me. What could make you happier, right? Toby Leary of Cape Gunworks. This September, Colette handles all the details. Flights, meals, hotels, and local experiences. Your only job is to have the time of your life. So join me. Call Colette at 800-581-8942 or go to howiecarshow.com and click the banner and learn more. I'm telling you, I'm excited about this trip, and I want you to come with me. It'll be a great time exploring Scotland. So what is the poll question and what are the results so far, Taylor?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at howiecarshow.com, is do you approve of President Trump making Christmas Eve and December 26th federal holidays this year? Yes, great idea. No, too much government time off. Or if I have to work, so should the government.
Ah, humbug, I say. No, I don't really mean it that way. I just think if I got to work, they should have to work. And the feds get a lot more holidays than I do. So anyway, that's what I'm sticking with.
That's tied for second at 26% with no too much government time off. 49% say yes, great idea.
A lot more generous people out there. Or they're all sitting at home because they're federal workers enjoying their day off. I don't know. But either way, you're out voting me. So good on you. There you have it. All right. Don't forget about the chump line today. You can dial in at 844-500-4242 and press number 2 so that you can leave your, you know, you never know when Hollywood will be calling. So you want to audition here on the Howie Carr Show and let us know what you got. I look forward to hearing it, and I hope it's a really good one this today, because it's always the highlight of the show for me. So give us a call and leave your chump line message. Going back to the text, which you can text in Howie to 617-213-1066 is 617 says, aren't silencers illegal in Mass anyway? And yes, they are. And that's why I said, sorry, Massachusetts, because it doesn't apply to you. However, one thing the texter was pointing out was that the NFA tax has gone away with the big, beautiful bill. So the $200 tax is gone. That's why he's wondering if there'll be a run on suppressors. And through for 48 states, yes. The Hateful Eight, the states like Massachusetts, which don't allow such life safety equipment such as silencers or suppressors, which only reduce the sound by about 30 decibels. It's not like Hollywood where it goes pew, pew, pew. You know, it makes this little baby bird chirp. That doesn't happen. But it is truly a life safety issue where people could recover their hearing or maintain their hearing longer by not having the loud report of gunshot. But it also affects short-barreled rifles and short-barreled shotguns. So I imagine in Massachusetts we'll see a little bit of a spike of people who are finally like, you know what, maybe I will buy a short-barreled rifle or a short-barreled shotgun because it's going to be tax-free. Not truly tax-free, but the NFA tax is going away. And so, yeah. Anyway, 844-500-4242. Man, you guys all want to talk about guns today. I guess that's what happens when the gun guy sits in. But let's go to Quint. You're next up on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Quint.
Hey, Toby. Thanks for your gun advocacy. And I was thinking the angle, like you were just saying, about the suppressors. I hunt a lot, and I blow my eardrums out every time I shoot a deer. I get quite a few deer every year. And I was thinking, boy, you know, they're worried about our safety. I'm trying to keep my hearing, and you can't wear ear protection. You won't hear the deer coming, or, you know, so is there any kind of angle, like add that in to fight for the suppressors?
There is. There was at one point a bill before the state legislature to legalize it that had a lot of bipartisan support, and it ended up dying on the vine. Every time there's any type of you know, negative outcome with a firearm, whether it be some sort of mass shooting event or whatever, even if it has nothing to do with the issue at hand, like it wasn't an issue of silencers or suppressors at the time, but there was some sort of mass shooting. I can't remember. It's like I think it was the Pulse nightclub event down in Miami and or down in Florida, I believe it was. And that just ended it. It was DOA at that point. You know, they weren't going to bring it up and lobby for it in our state house. And unfortunately, but one of the biggest advocates for suppressors was actually like a New York Times article that wrote how it was a true life safety issue. It reduces recoil and sound, and it protected people's ears. I can't remember if it was also in a court or a official government document or whatever. I don't remember what the New York Times angle on that was, but it was talking about how the military has adopted suppressors for a lot of the weapons that they use, and it has drastically reduced the claims of, you know, tinnitus or hearing loss by the military, which ultimately will save taxpayers. So it's a win-win all the way around. And frankly, there's no downside to it. There literally is none. And yet Massachusetts and seven other states absolutely refuses to allow suppressors. And I remember when Vermont was, it didn't have gun control, except it had a ban or a prohibition on silencers. And then they finally dropped that. And then I think they were the 42nd state to allow them. But then they started to adopt other gun control. So it's all crazy. But I would love to see that happen. But I don't think it's going to happen in the state level. I think it could happen on the federal level. There's several cases out there, one out of the Fifth Circuit, one out of the Seventh Circuit, one out of, I'm trying to remember the other one. I think the Second Circuit, if memory serves me correct, that addresses the ban on suppressors. And hopefully if the Supreme Court takes it up, the official DOJ position is that suppressors are protected arms under the Second Amendment. So I don't know how Massachusetts gets away with banning guns or arms that are in common and ordinary use for lawful purposes. So we'll see. Thanks for the call, Quint. 844-500-4242 is the number. That's 844-500-4242. It makes a lot of sense. I just don't get why, you know, people think there's some nefarious intent of people who want to own suppressors to keep their hearing. It doesn't make any sense. I actually had a group come to the shop once. They were an anti-gun group, and I did a little demonstration for them, and they were like, see, no one should be able to own suppressors. And I said, can you shoot one for us? And I said, sure, let's go out on the range. Here's your earmuffs, because you're going to need them. And then when we're out there, I said, do you want to take your earmuffs off while I shoot the gun with the suppressor? They said, no. I said, I thought so. Good choice. And when I shot it with the suppressor on it, they were blown away and were like, wow, that's loud. And I said, right. But it helps a lot by reducing that decibel rating by 20 to 30 decibels. And yeah, so anyway, enough about that. We got a big one to talk about. And it's an article in Red State by Rusty Weiss about the big thing that happened down in Georgia. And everybody's been saying, this is from December 19th, but a lot of people are saying Rudy Giuliani, of all people, who was fined like $165 million or spent that much in his legal defense, is owed a big apology and a big check, because Georgia has now said they aren't even going to dispute the fact that 315,000 ballots were counted and they shouldn't have been, which blows a giant crater in 2020 was the most secure election ever lie. And I know I don't want to pick the scab off an old wound, right? because I think most of us intuitively knew that the 2020 election was stolen. I'll go out on a limb and say it, you know. I don't think it's much of a limb at this point. A lot of people are like, yeah, you know what? There was some irregularities. But a Georgia State Election Board investigation substantiated that Fulton County violated election rules in 2020 by failing to have poll workers sign required tabulation tapes for early votes in 36 out of 37 advance voting precincts, affecting approximately 315,000 ballots. These unsigned tapes broke the chain of custody and certification requirements under Georgia law, which mandates signed tapes as the sole legal proof of authentic vote totals. During the board meeting on December 9th, Ann Bromba, attorney for the Fulton County Board of Registration and Elections, contends that Fulton County does not dispute that the tapes were not signed. Oof. So much for the most secure and most audited election in the history of the world. No worries, though. Bromba contends that their processes and procedures have rectified the situation since. We'll never let that happen again. I promise you have our word. It was a violation of the rule. We, since 2020, again, we have new leadership now and a new building and a new board and new standard operating procedures. And since then, the training has been enhanced. But we don't dispute the allegation from the 2020 election. David Cross, a local election integrity activist, made the allegation. He filed a formal challenge with the Georgia State Election Board in March of 2022, alleging Fulton County illegally counted around 315,000 early votes in the 2020 election without required poll worker signatures or tabulator tapes. And he spoke at the hearing telling the State Election Board of the irregularities he discovered. These signed tapes are the sole legal certification that the reported totals are authentic, Cross said. Fulton County produced zero signed tabulator tapes in early voting. These are not clerical errors. They are catastrophic breaks in the chain of custody and certification. Because no tape was ever legally certified, Fulton County had no lawful authority to certify its advance voting results to the Secretary of the State. Yet it did, Cross added. And Secretary Raffensperger accepted and folded these uncertified numbers into the Georgia official total without questioning them. I think, if memory serves me right, Biden won Georgia by like 12,000 votes, which is crazy. No, maybe that's wrong. One guy in particular almost went to prison for questioning the integrity of the election that saw Joe Biden, the least energized political candidate to ever run for the White House, somehow churn out 81 million or so votes. As David Strom of Hot Air writes, I seem to recall that President Trump was being prosecuted for making claims about the voting processes in Georgia, that the whole election denial narrative that the Democrats have slandered Trump with was based on his lies that have turned out to be unsurprisingly true. We all knew it, didn't we? 844-500-4242. We'll go to the phones on the way back, so don't go away. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show, and I have something for you. Imagine a scenario where you or your loved ones face a threat. Your first instinct might be to resort to lethal force, but it's crucial to consider a safer, less lethal alternative first to avoid the legal complications associated with firearms. Introducing Byrna. Byrna's less lethal pistol launcher. This device is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition and designed to incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes, providing a critical window for you to escape or get help while minimizing the risk of permanent harm. Here's a real-life account from Byrna customer named Adam. While heading to his night shift, Adam encountered a road-raging driver who swerved dangerously, stopped abruptly, and aggressively approached him. Remaining calm, Adam dialed 911 and armed himself with his Byrna launcher. He aimed the laser at the aggressor's chest, which immediately de-escalated the situation, and the driver returned to his vehicle and awaited the police. The officers confirmed that Adam's non-lethal response was perfectly judged. That night, Byrna didn't just prevent a potential tragedy, it saved two lives without causing physical harm. Byrna is legal in all 50 states, requires no background checks, and can be conveniently shipped direct to your door. over 500,000 units sold and proudly hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit Byrna.com/Howie now for an exclusive 10% discount. That's BYRNA.com/Howie. We'll be right back after this. I'm Toby Leary.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Toby Leary sitting in for Howie. And as promised, let's jump on the calls. We got Dan with a gun question. Go ahead, Dan.
Hello?
Dan, are you there? Are you there?
Hi there. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. It's not really a gun question today. My thoughts, every time I hear you on with Howie, and those things, I think of Massachusetts, and I think of how important that was in the Revolution and creating this United States of America. And can you imagine if they were trying to do that today with the leadership Massachusetts has?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. They actually claim, Dan, that they are walking in the footsteps of our founding fathers, but really they're walking in the footsteps of the royal governor, Thomas Gage, as he came to disarm the people. That's the irony writes itself. You can't believe it, but
I know
that. You know, and they sit there and say they're on the right side of history, but they're not. It's crazy.
No, it is. It's just insane. And, you know, I don't know if people think enough about it, but honest to God, I had family friends. I'm from Maine. And we had family friends that lived over in Concord. I went to Boston School for a while, 55 years ago. And I'd go out to Concord. My brother worked in Connecticut. He'd pick me up, take me home for weekends or something. And I can remember going out to the bridge and all that stuff and just thinking how important that really was in the founding of this country. And today, that just wouldn't happen. You know, right. your governor wouldn't do it. So that was kind of the extent of my comment.
But yeah, great comment.
Well worth your residents of Massachusetts thinking about that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And thanks for the call, Dan. And you know, I was talking about that exact scenario with Mike Keneally, the gubernatorial candidate. I had him on my podcast, and he's like, I'm from Lexington, you know, and Lexington is an extremely liberal town at this point, which is sad. Not, you know, I don't care if you're Democrat, liberal, Republican, whatever, but the truth of the matter is the whole meaning of what took place 250 years ago on the Lexington Battle Green when Thomas Gage sent his regulars British troops to Lexington Battle Green to round up the guns and the powder from the magazines and the storehouses. That's what they were there to do, was confiscate the guns. They'd already done it in Boston, and they were going out into Concord and Lexington throughout, because Lord Dartmouth said you have to do this one of two ways, either by force or by edict. And if edict doesn't work, you got to do it by force. So they were headed out to do it. All right. I don't have enough time to get to the next caller, to be fair. So if you want to stay over the break, we will talk to you. If you want to hold or call back, either way, I'm happy to talk to you on the other side of the break. But yeah, we don't have that luxury of being fair with a call. So don't forget to vote in the poll and to get on the chump line, because I want to hear your chump line today. So it should be a good one. All right. We'll be back after this. 844-500-4242. I'm Toby Leary.